This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed.
On this episode of the Live Feed, we're bringing you the funny from the Big Boobs Comedy Show. We visit with Earl Elliott and Ryan Call, two comedians from the Twin Cities. They share with us how they create a show, terrifying moments, how to recover, what family and friends think of their profession, how comedy affects romantic relationships, and more. Keep listening as we bring you part of their performance from the show. I'm Terry Tenseth, your host for The Live Feed. Hi, this is Terry, and I'm with two Minnesota-based comedians performing at the Big Boobs Comedy Show. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves.
My name is Earl Elliott.
And my name is Ryan Call.
Okay, you guys, so first question, why did you get into comedy? And whoever wants to go first can grab the microphone.
Lazy parenting. lack of maturity. I don't know, honestly. Let's just keep doing it. Why'd you get in it?
Well, you had to have started at some point, so what was that?
I just always wanted to do it, and then I started maybe 5 years ago and just kept going. And sometimes I question why I still do it, but I don't know. Why'd you get into it?
I don't know. I just always, I guess, thought I was funny. And when I was 18, right after I graduated from high school, I was living in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I knew that there was a comedy club in Rochester, so I just went to the open mic and kind of caught the bug. You know, and haven't stopped.
Isn't it scary because you don't know if people are actually going to think you're funny?
I mean, if it depends, like if you have your material, if you know, if you're, you know, getting paid or you're doing shows, you have material that you know is going to work with almost every room. But I mean, like when you do open mics and stuff, you're trying out new stuff. Absolutely. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's never not terrifying. It's still terrifying.
What's been your most terrifying moment and why?
I wouldn't say a moment. It's just usually nerves before a show. Like just wondering if you're doing a new joke and seeing it, how that's going to go. And then you just learn if it's quiet, then it's just quiet. You just go to the next one. you develop tough skin.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with Earl. I don't know if I would say there's a specific moment. It's just a constant feeling of dread. But no, I mean, like, you know, as a comic, you do bar shows in, like, you know, tiny little towns in Iowa and Wisconsin, and that can be really intimidating, definitely, yeah.
How do you come up with your content? Is it on the fly, or do you actually sit down and you're like, okay, let me think this out?
We all write for the most part, but then sometimes it can come up on the fly, like in the moment. But then if it comes up on the fly, it might not work the next time. so it's like, it worked that time. So sometimes you just have to throw stuff out. Yeah. Kind of, like, just suck it up.
Do you take time to write that, or is it like when it comes and it hits you and then?
It's just ongoing. You're always kind of writing. You should be, at least. So if something comes up to you and you're driving or you're half asleep, then you have to get up and write it down or try to remember it.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. You have, you know, your basic idea that made you laugh in your head, and then it just kind of grows. You know, you start with that first idea, and then you just have that in your head, and you're thinking about it, and all of a sudden, okay, well, there's another point I could make. There's somewhere else that I could go. And then when it's spontaneous, that's what we in this might be too inside baseball, but it's called riffing. And so that's just kind of off the cuff, and it's, you just get inspired when you're on stage, just from, you know, the room and the audience and just kind of all of that coming together. So, yeah.
How do you recover from something, or have you had to recover from something? If you can think of that one instance and tell me what was going on.
I was going to say... Well, I mean, you know, if a joke doesn't land, I think you have to be careful with this, but what you can do is you can kind of make fun of yourself a little bit, but then on the other hand, like, if you do that too much, like, if you have, like, two or three jokes that don't land, and then you keep making fun of yourself, what happens is the audience starts to lose faith in you as a comic. Yeah, they're like, well, you don't believe in yourself. Why should we? You know, so, yeah.
I would say doing it, you're supposed to be doing a clean show. and you forget that, and then halfway in, or they tell you 2 minutes before to not cuss or whatever, and then you're just like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to get through this 30 minutes.
It's a clean show tonight, right?
Yeah, it's not a clean show.
What kind of show are you, should I say? Like, where does... If you had to give yourself a genre or kind of characterize what your routines are like, where do they go?
I would say it's definitely comedy. that's the genre. But I don't know. I try and be friendly, and I try and I want people to feel or leave feeling good about themselves and about what they just saw. So I guess I'm pretty upbeat, positive for the most part.
A lot of people just say I'm a stoner. So I don't know if that's a type of comedy, but like I don't know. I like to play devil's advocate. I'm still learning what my type would be, if you would say. Like, I'm silly, like silliness.
Before, in the past, when I've interviewed comics, they've said that alcohol is deeply rooted in the culture. Can you tell me if you agree with that statement? If you do, why? Or,
I mean, yes. But at the same time, I think alcohol can definitely be a detriment, and it can stop your growth as a comedian, you know, just like any other crutch. I think you're going to get a lot better quicker if you stay away from alcohol. But that's hard to do, you know, because you have to meet other comics, and all comics are alcoholics. So you kind of have to, you know, knock a few back. But
in most audiences.
Yeah.
Most audiences are alcoholics, too. So...
Most people, I think.
Yeah, I'd say in the Midwest.
Yeah.
How do we keep warm in winter?
Yeah. Are you ready to get this show going? Are you thoroughly warmed up? Very good. We're going to bring up our first comic. Our first comic tonight, his name is Ryan Call. You may have seen him, or he was the best in show, something like that. He makes it sound like a dog. At the 10,000 Laughs Festival, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Call.
Hey, keep it going for Mark, huh? I should get this out of the way right away. I'm jealous of people who have tattoos they don't regret. I have a tattoo on my forearm that just says, "Be great." I regretted this while I was getting it. Like, this is not going to be great. This isn't even going to be good. This is going to be bad. What am I doing with my life? Right? That's actually not even the dumbest tattoo I have on this arm. I have a Steve Miller Band logo on my bicep, which, thank you. If you're not familiar with their logo, it looks like a blue horse, right? Yep. One guy's like, hell yeah, it does. You bet your sweet ass it does. People my age see that tattoo, they come up to me, they're like, what is that? Is that a blue unicorn? Right? Get real embarrassed. But now I realize how dumb that tattoo is. People come up to me, they're like, what is that? Is that a Steve Miller Band tattoo? I'm like, no, it's a blue unicorn. Yeah. I was watching Netflix earlier this week. You guys ever just scroll through the categories on Netflix? Just go all the way down? They don't get better the further you go. They don't. I made it to the last category. You know what it was? Irreverent foreign films. Who is that for, right? People that just want to be confused. When I turned the subtitles off and got high, I was like, oh my God, this is for me. I love this. I think Netflix should do that, though. I think that should be their thing. The further the category, the weirder it gets, right? Films that'll make you question your relationship with your father. Visually compelling soundtracks. Miniseries that'll make you call your ex-girlfriend up and say, Amy, have you seen Band of Brothers? It's great and I'm lonely. Hello. Wow. All right. I got good parents. They're good eggs. They are. My daddy was a pipe fitter for like 30 years. That's what he wants me to do, right? He was only a pipe fitter in Wyoming, but he still tells me no matter what town I'm in to go down to the local union and tell him who he is. Like, that's going to do anything, right? I used to live in Eau Claire. I went down to the local union, walked in there. There was a guy standing at the front desk. I walked up to him. I was like, hey, my dad's Terry Call.
He just kind of looked at me. He was like, I don't know who that is. And walked out. I was like, worth a shot. All right. I really wish I would have walked in there, though, and been like, hey, my dad's Terry Call. They would have been like, Terry Call? Are you shitting me? That guy was pipe-fitting world champion from 78 to 81. Get in here. Like a black and white shirtless picture of my dad holding two wrenches on the wall. Got a utility belt draped across his shoulder. It's great. He's kind of a simple guy, right? Like, he's not stupid, but he has, like, a couple hobbies, right? Like, my dad's interests include building things and fixing things, and that's it. Like, if you were to ask my dad what he's into, he would be like, yeah, pretty much just hard work. Just, like, things that are not only physically difficult to do, but things that will also make me angry while I'm doing them. Yeah, I like to be angry. I like to hang out there alone in the shed, punch a hole in the wall, and then fix that wall. That'll keep me angry. Great. I guess he has another hobby. He also likes to bring things to airports that he shouldn't. I dropped him off at the airport a couple months ago, and as he was getting out of the car, he leans over to me, and he goes, hey, Ryan, what am I supposed to do with my gun? I'm like, oh, you brought a gun to an airport. He goes, yeah, I brought a gun. I brought a bunch of knives, too. I'm like, how many knives did you bring? He's like, I don't know, like 20 or 30. That's too many knives, right? I don't know if my dad knows how knife fights work, but you can just reuse the one knife. Ridiculous would that be? Stab a guy, dig in the pile, stab again. On his way out of the car, he goes, well, are they going to let me on the plane with my GPS? I'm like, yeah, that's what you should be worried about right now, Dad. Like, can you murder someone with a GPS? He's like, I don't know, I could strangle him with the cord. I'm like, probably don't say that. They're not going to let you on the plane, old man. They're not. I mentioned I'm 23. I've dropped out of two colleges. Yep. It's kind of weird because this is the first generation where I feel like the people that dropped out of college are better off than the people that stayed in college, right? It's crazy. It's not funny. That's just true. People are like, no, that's the way it is. That's crazy. I think college is too expensive, man. I know it's too expensive because when I was in college, all my friends, like, they had these crazy urban legends, right? And the skeleton of it was always the same. It was always like, if something bad happens to you, you'll get your tuition paid for. But it was never worth what would happen to you, you know? Be like, yeah, if something happens to your roommate, you know, like, let's say he kills himself, you get free college tuition. That's not worth it, though, right? Nobody's sitting in their dorm room on the top bunk going, come on, Paul, do it! Need to achieve this upward mobility, man. Right? Like another crazy one was like, yeah, if you're walking in the middle of a crosswalk and you get hit by a university vehicle, free college tuition. You got to be really careful with that one, though, because if the bus is going faster than you think it is, you're just going to get your roommate free college tuition. All right. Thank you guys very much. I've been Ryan Call. Enjoy the rest of the show.
I'm Terry Tensett, and you're listening to The Live Feed. You just finished listening to Minnesota comedian Ryan Call's set during the Big Boobs Comedy Show. We now return to my interview with Ryan and fellow comedian Earl Elliott. The two will share with us how their profession affects family relationships as well as romantic ones and more.
Does your family expect you to be the funny, entertaining person at the family gatherings?
I'm not super close with my extended family after this election, but I don't think so. I think my dad is kind of the comedic crutch of our family. Yeah, but it's nice to just kind of take a backseat because he's just a goofy, stubborn old man. So you just let him go, you know.
So that's where you get it from.
Yeah, I just steal all my dad's material. Yeah. He says a joke, and then I just take it on stage.
I would agree. My family's interesting. Like they always say that I'm not funny, and that it's weird that I'm a comedian. That all they do is make fun of me. So that's my family.
How does being a comedian affect personal relationships?
How much time you got? Like, well, I notice most girls I've dated, we might meet at a comedy club, and then the first argument is, you think everything's a joke? I mean, yeah, you met me at a comedy club. So it's tough to balance the relationship life and being out all the time. If somebody works during the day and then you're out at night all the time, then there's jealousy stuff that comes in. So it's balancing act. I haven't figured it out yet, so I'm just trying to now.
Yeah, I think Earl kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's just, I think part of it too is if you're not a comic, you don't understand that we are, you know, when we're going out every night, we are putting work in. And it's not always, you know, it's not like we're going out and just meeting new people. But I can see, you know, if you're on the other side of the fence on the relationship, how that would look, you know. I think it's easier to meet people at comedy shows. I think it's hard to continue a relationship. Yeah.
Let's say you are in one. Or you've had a relationship while doing this career. I'm guessing you both have. Does your significant other get worried that you're going to include them in the comedy bit? Or is that a hands-off thing? Or is that something you explain right away?
Sometimes. I don't explain it. Usually I process stuff later. So if I have a joke about somebody, I don't make it just about one person. So nobody can say, oh, that joke's about me. Yeah, it's kind of, not all the way. So I know it's tough. Like it's everybody thinks we just party all the time, but usually we're just staring into space, waiting for the show to start. So that's where it gets dicey, because it's always like, you're always out, and it's like, no, I mean, I guess, but sometimes I want to stay in and not be out at night, all night, every night.
Wait, what was the question again?
Well, how does your comedy routine affect a relationship? Like, do you write about it or not?
Oh, I mean, that I think is kind of a relationship to relationship thing. If I am going to write a joke about someone, I like to at least give them a heads up beforehand, which usually just turns into an argument, and then the relationship's over, and then it's like, all right, I can write that bit. So,
yeah. What are you saying, you get relationships for material?
No. but I mean, I think just, you know, anytime you're with relationships, you're so invested in someone, and with comedy, you draw from your life experiences, and when you're thinking about someone a lot, I think it's natural that, you know, you do end up writing material that's inspired by them, maybe not necessarily about them, but yeah.
Is this what you're doing full-time, or what else are you doing?
I'm doing it full-time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
How many nights a week are you on the road about?
It goes up and down. We'll say like this next couple weeks, probably just every night pretty much except like Sunday, but then might not have any gigs for 2 weeks after that. So it balances out kind of like.
That's a lot. Is it a lot of traveling or is it around the same area?
Usually? Mostly in Midwest, like Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, sometimes Iowa, you know, just around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I work like 2 days a week at a pancake house just to kind of help make ends meet. I get up every night, whether it's, you know, an open mic or a paid show. Most weekends I have shows. I put like 50,000 miles on my car in the past year. So you travel a lot, you know.
Is it like a labor of love? Is it a break-even situation? Is it at the point where you're like, hey, this is paying off?
I think it's a sickness more so. Like a lot of times I'll do gigs and just to break even, just to do the gig, to get another gig from it. So sometimes you break even. It's what it is, but sometimes it balances out better.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of for the love of the game, you know? You love it, so you do it. I don't really, honestly, like, I would rather do a fun show and make no money than eat it and then make a bunch of money. So
I disagree.
Earl's all about the money.
Plates and piles of garbage.
Yeah, it's mostly, I mean, it's like a break-even situation, but the money is, honestly, just for me, the money is like an added benefit. I don't think of it like, oh, I'm going to make so much money on this gig. You know, it's like, no, I'm going to have fun. That's the biggest thing.
What's it like being a comedian in Minnesota? What's that community like for y'all?
Minneapolis, the scene is very, very good. A lot of very talented comics. It's somewhat competitive. With any scene, there's going to be, you know, infighting and drama and stuff. But for the most part,
it's just a great place to grow as a comic. I love it there.
Yeah, it's good. It's centrally located, too. So like I said, you can go around the whole Midwest and really learn how to be a comic versus before you spread out more, you'll say. And it's like there's a lot of good places. You can go up every night somewhere. So it's pretty cool.
What would you say to somebody who wants to give it a shot?
Don't. That's enough comics.
I would say do it. I'd say go for it, honestly, because, like, you know, YOLO, man. You only live once. Do it. Try it. See if it's for you. If it's not, you've got your whole life to figure out what is for you. You know, why not try it? Give it a shot.
If people want to find out more information about you, where should they go?
Just on Facebook, you know, Earl Elliott. I don't have a website yet. Okay. Try to keep it that way. There's less things to do, remember.
Less passwords.
You can find me on Facebook at Ryan Call, K-A-H-L. You can also find me on Twitter at Idiot Ryan Call.
What's that name again?
At Idiot Ryan Call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This is going pretty good, huh? Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're having a good time. All right, well, are you ready for your last comic of the evening? Your last comic is a house comic at the vaunted Acme Comedy Club up in Minneapolis. You may have seen him on Tinder. Please welcome Earl Elliott.
What's up, everybody? Hi. It wasn't a greeting, it was a statement. Glad you guys are here. It's good to get out of the house and see live stand-up comedy. Give it up for yourselves for coming out. It's like, as a comedian, I spend too much time in the house. So I notice, like, I watch a lot of TV. I watch way too much TV. And I notice that everything on TV is like reality shows. Like, everything is reality based. I'm sick of reality shows. I hate them. You agree? However, I want one. Like, if I had a reality show, my whole show would be crashing other reality shows. Like, I would go to 16 and Pregnant and just make sure it's not mine. Just quick episode. Like, next, I go to Keeping Up with the Kardashians, stay just far enough behind them where every scene is just me in the background, out of breath, being creepy. They're just, Kim, just hiding behind drapes, just keeping up, Kim. Lastly, I go to Hoarders, get there early, and just clean up. Like, just, no dead cats here, I think you have the wrong address. I'd get a Mr. Clean lookalike to open a door and they got there just to confuse them. Maybe it's me, but does Mr. Clean look like he was once a white supremacist gang leader? I don't know. I'm just saying, what kind of tattoos did Mr. Clean have? Like, I don't. This purity, Mr. Clean, this purity you speak of. No Jews allowed on my counter, Mr. Clean. Like, this magic eraser, everything's got to be that white, Mr. Clean. How do you spell that, Mr. Clean? 3 K's? I'm trying to drink less. If you can't tell, I've been smoking more weed. That's how that math works. I don't, that's how that equation happens. I'm trying to drink less, so sometimes I drink O'Doul's. Does anybody drink that? No? Yeah. Good, don't. It tastes like shit. It's terrible. Like, my dad drinks O'Doul's. I was like, man, how do you drink this? He was like, oh, you just have to put some vodka in it, and it just goes right down. Like, it's like, touche, father. Like, one of my cousins, he came up to, I told him I got my degree. He was like, hey, is that first or third degree? That's my family for you. Like, no, marketing, you dummy. I did go to school for marketing. Does anybody work in marketing? Me neither. Like, going to school for marketing is like going to school for flirting. Nobody cares. Like, I don't. My mom always asks me if I'm ever going to use my degree. Like, yeah, mom, I use it every week when I'm selling shit on Craigslist. Like, it is. It's all. You know how hard it is to sell a broken TV with no cord? So black people don't camp. With moving to Minnesota, people are always like, you've never been camping? Like, no, I haven't been camping. I don't, like, black people, we don't like to put ourselves in dangerous situations that we don't have to be in. Like, before I moved here, I thought camping was sitting outside a Foot Locker at 6 in the morning when the new Jordans come out. That's what I thought camping was. Like, we don't like to put ourselves in dangerous situations that we don't already have to be in. Like, it's hard enough to walk to the gas station at 2 in the morning and not get harassed by cops. I don't want to go fight bears. Like, it's silly. Like, I don't, like, my friend was like, oh, why don't black people camp? It was like I said, we don't like to put ourselves in dangerous situations. There's things that just aren't made for us. Like, there's camping, there's a standardized test. So A, C, soliloquy, that bitch owes me $50. That's how I take my sandwiches. It's a bad Shakespeare joke. So now I'm on Tinder. Tinder's like DWIs, nobody admits it. Is anybody here on Tinder? Yeah, I hear a saddie, yeah. It's always the one guy's like, are you guys on a Tinder date? They just got quiet. I can see you. Like, I guess, who said yeah? I don't listen. Tinder's cool. Tinder's weird, though, because, like, every girl on Tinder says in their profile, all right, if you don't know what Tinder is, it's an app that's meant to, like, you pretty much just swipe right or you swipe left. If you don't like the person, you swipe left. If you like them, you swipe right. And then you match, and then you can go on a date. Now, Tinder came from an app called Grindr, which was strictly for gay dudes. But pretty much, like, gay dudes know how to party. They're like, oh, you're 5 miles away. Let's in an alley. That's what Tinder is based off of. Tinder's based off of this. Like, but it's weird on Tinder because girls, the first thing they say is not looking to hook up. That's why whenever I bring a girl home on a Tinder date, I never give her the Wi-Fi password. All right, fair enough. It's like, ever? You mean you're not looking to hook up ever? That's a weird thing to say. But I get why girls say this. I know why. It's because of dick pics. Dick pics are running rampant. Guys, you got to stop sending dick pics. That was a hearty yes. No pun intended. You got to, it's rude to send a dick pic. You can't just walk up to a girl like, my name is Mark, here's my dick. That's a felony in the street. Like, you can't. That's rude. The shocking. Have some empathy for the ladies. Don't send dick pics. Have some empathy. Like, it's shocking. It's unattractive. Like, how would you like it if you met a girl for the first time? She was like, hey, my name is Julie. Here's a picture of my ideal wedding. It's unattractive. All right, guys. My name is Earl Elliott. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you so much. Keep it going for your bartenders. Make sure you tip them well.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Earl Elliott and Ryan Call for sharing with us on The Live Feed. More information on Earl Elliott can be found on Facebook, and the same can be said for Ryan Call. In addition, he can be found on Twitter at Idiot Ryan Call, that's K-A-H-L. Another big thank you goes out to Lindsay Hansel and Mark Lydell for organizing the Big Boobs Comedy Show in Winona, Minnesota. More information on the Big Boobs Comedy Show can be found by searching for Big Boobs Comedy, that's B-U-B-S, on Facebook. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.